Okay, I want to discuss briefly with you the minhag called nittel. Okay, tonight is the minhag of nittel. I can tell you.
What does it mean, nittel?
I'm going to come to that.
Want to steal something from me? Nittel?
Nittel is the minhag not to learn Torah after it gets dark until chatzos. Okay, so the minhag is after you. That's it. No learning. Go home. Close yourself up. For what you say. Watch TV. No learning. Play cards. No learning Torah until Chatzos Laila. Chatzos Laila, when it's 12 o'clock, then you can resume. You can go back to the Beis Medrash and learn once again. I can tell when I grew up, I never heard of this. Never heard of this until I got much older. In the yeshivas, I never heard of this before. And it's primarily a Hasidic minhag. It's not practiced today by the vast majority of Ashkenazim. And Adarabba, everyone will tell you, they should learn. And most Litvish yeshivas, there is no difference between the 25th of December and the 24th of December, and what's in between, than there is the entire year round. But this appears to have been a very popular minhag among certain groups of Hasidim, dating back many years ago. Now, the simplest reason for the minhag is a very simple reason, doesn't take much chachma to understand the minhag, is it was a very great sakana. The night, public safety, exactly, the night of their holiday, the goyim would get drunk, they would do terrible things. It was a very, very real sakana. They would go Jew hunting.
By the services, by the sermons.
But that didn't take place until Chatzos. So it's interesting, because then the minhag nittel is only from the time it gets dark until Chatzos Laila. It appears, I don't know much about this, but the drushas take place bediuk Chatzos Laila. Right?
The eve.
So why then were you allowed to resume learning after? I don't know. Something doesn't make sense. If they would make trouble really Chatzos Laila, so then there should be the entire night.
No, but the
minhag nittel is man hazeh. The minhag nittel is only until Chatzos, yeah?
What I heard tied into that was that when people would learn in Europe,
yeah,
they did not learn at home because there was not enough fuel or what. So everyone
together in the Beis Medrash
to learn. So therefore,
yeah,
was a sakana all night to go out.
But from what I've seen, now, by the way, everything I'm telling you comes from this sefer called Yisrael VaHazman. It's a wonderful, wonderful sefer. He has a number of sefer by Rusev. Anyone know who he is? Rusev. His name is David Rusev. Rosov? You know who he is?
With a G?
Rosov? No. Reish Vav Samach Vav Pei. Rosov. He wrote a number of svarim on the Chodesh Hashanah, on the months. So I first came in contact with the sefer. He has a sefer in Chodesh Av, and I was blown away by his ideas of history, and he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he combines history with yes, and when I saw it was written on the Chodesh Av, just a whole sefer on Chodesh Av. And then I discovered he had a sefer on Chodesh Tammuz. I was so excited, which I didn't purchase at the time. And then I walked to the swarm store about a month ago. I saw this on Chodesh Kislev Teves Shvat and Adin. I was so excited, and I right away agreed. It was the last copy, and I right away chapped it. And the person, the Moicher Swarm, said to me, "Oh, this sefer, it's not going to be so easy to find anymore." It's a good thing I'm getting it, because he knows that it's a very choshev sefer. And he has a lot of ideas on Christianity from the perspective of Chazal. Okay, I don't know anything about Christianity. You know, my knowledge is extremely weak. But I just want to present you some of the ideas he has here, a few little things we can put together to relate to nittel. So the first thing we have to discuss is public safety. Public safety, it was a very, very real sakana for a Jew to be caught practicing his religion at the height of Christianity, all different points in history, different countries, different parts of the world, and a Jew would basically hide himself, and at the kach, it was such a sakana, chamira, sakanta, yoyser, meisura, the bezdin, the rabbanim, would make a gzeru, no one should be dear caught learning Torah, practicing any religion on the night of their holiday, because it's not just because nefesh for you, it's because nefesh for all of us. Okay, that's It's pikuach nefesh.
No, but we just think for the night of what?
The night of their holiday.
Oh.
The night leading into the 25th of December. Tonight. So therefore, it was off limits. It was osur, mamish, osur, b'chizik yad, to learn daf gemara, to daven ma'ariv, to anything, shnat chashol mikor, shnat b'yasakana. Chamira sakanta yosemei surah. Now today, Baruch Hashem, we live in a very wonderful country, freedom of religion, and we don't have this problem, and we don't have the problem here, and most, many parts of the world, the problem has been greatly diminished. So do we continue to practice this custom? So it all depends if that's the only reason for this custom. Now, what does someone ask, what does it mean, nittel? He presents over here four different translations. I don't know exactly the depth of what these things mean. One is nittel means, it means, it's a Hebrew word, nitila, to be taken. And it refers to the fact that Yashka was taken from this world. Now Yashka, the Yashka was taken from this world, the one that we're referring to is the first Yashka on Erev Pesach. Now we mentioned, when we learned Yeshaya, I mentioned to you this theory, which I always grew up with, is that there were at least more than one Yashka, and possibly three Yashkas. If you look at everything at face value, take everything at face value, there's a Yashka in the Gemara that appears in the time of Rabbi Shimon Prachya, which lived during the time of the Chashmonoyim, about 150 years before it's dated. It's Mamish dated 150 years before the Churban. And then there appears to be a Yashka that lived about 100 in the Gemara, simply that appeared about 100 years after the Churban. And according to the accounts of the Goyim, Yashka was killed when in the year 34 CE, current era, which is Mamish smack in the middle between the two Yashkas that we have in the Gemara. So how do you put all this together? It's a very big mystery. He in this Sefer surprisingly makes no mention whatsoever of there being more than one Yashka. He doesn't even make mention of this contradiction in the Gemara, which appears with a Yashka later on. He only makes mention of the Yashka at the time of Yeshub and Prachya, during the time about 200 years before the Chumra, during the time of the Chashmonoyim, about 150 years before the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which that the influence of that Yashka, how much could have it been? It wasn't a religion, a world religion. It was a fringe group of a few extremists. And what could have it possibly been? But it opened up. It somehow, that was the start. That was the spark that started everything. From there, everything came 500 years later, and Constantine, when he instituted it being the religion for the entire world, and now millions and millions of people are believers. Now he presents, he does mention the contradiction between what the Goyim say, that he was killed in the year 34 CE, and what Chazal say about almost 200 years before that. And he basically says that they're liars. And he says that there's been a lot of recent research and evidence to prove that there was only one Yashka, the Yashka from Chazal, that was 150 years before the Churban, and all of their rayos have been shown, their major flaws, and there's been rewriting of history and new evidence discovered in the Dead Sea Scrolls and new things that have been discovered in Rome, and there are a lot of secrets and corruption, and he very very much dismisses, and he says, ask the people that really know, they'll admit that there was only one Yashka, the Yashka from the time of Chazal, Rabbi Shimon ben Prachya. And just a few little ideas about Yashka, from what he says is that he only lived to the age of 36, and he did all his damage in 3 years. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon ben Prachya, what was his name, and remember? I don't know, I have to go through. Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Shimon ben Prachya had to run and flee for his life from Yanai HaMelech. Yanai HaMelech was a Jewish king. There was a Jewish king during the time of Chashmonoim. He turned wicked. He became extremely wicked, persecuted all the Rabbanon, and he had no choice but to flee for his life. He took his students. Who was one of his students? This person, Yeshu. Who was Yeshu? Yeshu was a child of Ben, I've got his name, was a child of Ben Satita. Satita? Okay, I don't have all the names in front of me. I should appear a little better. But his father was married to this woman, Miriam Magdalena. Miriam Magdalena. And Mary Magdalena, she was, according to one account, was an arusa. In those times, they still practiced the custom that there was a year between the erusin and the nisuin. And during that 1 year period between the erusin and the nisuin, she was mizane with a Roman officer, with a guy. And this, they even know the name of the Roman officer. We have his name, exactly who she was mizane with. And she became pregnant, and she fathered this person who was called Yeshu, and he raised him. And that does not necessarily make her into a usher to her husband. And the man who eventually married this woman, Miriam Magdalena, he had other children. Yeshu had brothers, and from the same mother. And he was very kind. He didn't want him, you know, those days, if he wasn't in the orphanages in those days. It said, if you didn't have a father or mother, you were finished. There were no programs out there, government programs to take care of you. So he was very kind. He had rachmanis on this poor child, and he raised him as one of his own children. Okay, but obviously he didn't have such a good background. And again, a lot of these things are there's debate. Everything is accurate, and then there's another. We're running out of time, so we'll go very quickly through some of these ideas. And that when his Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachia, was persecuted by Yanai HaMelech, he had no choice but to flee to Egypt, to Alexandria, Shalom Mitzrayim. That was the only place where he could seek refuge. He took with him his Talmidim, and we mentioned the story of the Gemara of Adazar and Daf Ches, where the Gemara tells us where Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachia praised the innkeeper, and this student. Student Yeshu said, "What's the gedula? She's not a pretty woman. She doesn't have nice eyes." And Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachia was enraged. There were three things that the Chazal said that he was upset about. Number one, that Yeshu was implying that Rabbi Yeshua ben Parachia wanted to be mezaneh, wanted to have relations with the innkeeper. Because by telling his Rebbe, I think that's really the critical. That's one of the essential tainus which really got his Rebbe very angry. By saying to the Rebbe, you can do better. He basically was saying, Rebbe, you want a woman? You're looking at what a beautiful woman. I'll get you a better looking woman for your taivus. Can you imagine a Talmud saying that to a Rosh Yeshiva today? He say to a Rosh Yeshiva today, Rebbe, what are you looking at this woman? I'll get you a better one. Okay? I could tell you. I'm not going to tell you what I can tell you. A lot to say, but strike. So the Rebbe was enraged. Enraged. How dare you suspect? That's what I meant. That appears to be the ikar. That's not the way it's presented. The way it's presented is a much more cleaner approach. Is that what are you? The chasaron is in you, the Talmud. The Rebbe is, what are you looking at women? You're looking at women. You see that she has round eyes, she has oval eyes. What kind of piece of garbage are you? You look at women the whole day. That wasn't the taina. The Rebbe knew that the Talmud looks at women. That's why he has to take care of him. He's in trouble. He's at risk. The anger was, you think I'm like you? I'm doing you the favor, trying to get you on the right path, and you attribute all of your krumkai to me? So that was serious business. So therefore, the Rebbe got extremely angry, and he said to him, "Get lost, get out of here." He threw him out, and he threw him out with rage. He blew the Gemara says 400 sheifros. He excommunicated him. He was doicha b'shtei yadayim, and that is the source of Christianity. The Rebbe was too severe. It's not good for the Rebbe to be too lenient. Today, I don't know. I think they went to this kufa. This last couple of years, you got to go very easy on the children. I've seen this. I grew up. It was very tough with us. Very tough.
And parents say that the Rebbe abuses the children.
And then the last 10 years became a new approach. Yeah. Became a new approach in chinuch. You go easy, buddy with the kids, a whole new mahalach for the last 10 years. And I'm telling you, I go somewhere and I see the kids today, I don't know, it's too much. It's the chutzpah is noyla volume. I think this approach already, I think they're realizing it, they're going to start going back to the other approach, get a little, tighten up a little bit. Okay, so this is, but this is over here, but everyone agrees, hands down, everyone agrees that he was too severe with his Talmud, he was doicha b'shtei yadayim, and we know he tried to be chayzeh b'shuva, and the Rebbe refused to take him back, and finally, hashkacha pas, hard to understand exactly what this means, but hashkacha pas, why this happened, when he finally was willing to take him back, he was reciting Kriya Shema. It has to be significant. The whole Christianity, dealing with billions of people over here believing in Christianity, all came from when he came back. I'm going to take you back. Punkt. At that moment in time, he's saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and he puts his hand out and he says, "Wait a second." And Yeshu misinterpreted his hand motions. His hand motions, and he thought he meant "Get lost. I don't want to know from you." And at that point, he said, "You don't want me." That's it. I'm going off the derech. And what did he do? He took a brick. We don't know what this means. The whole Christianity is based upon this print, this piece of Gemara. He took a brick and he stood it up. And he bowed down to it. That's the origins of Christianity. He took a brick, stood up, bowed. There's obviously a lot more to this. And then he had the advantage they were in Egypt. Now this really would all come. Shapi was in Egypt. And Egypt was the hotbed of black magic, sorcery, kishuf. It was lebedik. What was going on there was unbelievable. You have to go. These are real things. We have no relation to. We have no understanding of this. These are real kichos of magic. You can do all these bizarre things. You can walk on water. You can even be mechayim esim. You can do all these bizarre things with. And Yeshu, he went off the derech and he studied there. He was a brilliant, brilliant person, obviously, and he picked up. He became the best practitioner of black magic in Egypt. Then he wanted. Then
it's known for it.
That's what Egypt was known for. Now Egypt had a very strict policy. It wasn't like you know the customs here in America where you can smuggle things in and out. No one can smuggle anything out of Egypt. No way. And their prized possession was their koichos of tum of sorcery, magic. And magic, you have to know all the potions. You have to know how to say all these things with the right kavanas. No one can memorize these things. Even the smartest, the most brilliant people can't memorize all of the black magic. So when you leave Egypt, they pat you down. They make sure you're not stealing their trademark secrets of black magic at this point in time. So no one can escape Egypt, like we have in Mitzrayim, time of Yosef, no one, the horses, they did certain things. No one can escape Egypt with books of magic. Impossible. This was the thing. So what did he do? He tattooed into his flesh all of the sorcery, the things he have to say in order to do all of these amazing things, and he was able to escape. That was a very great feat. He was able to escape. He came back to a land they didn't know from these things, and he practiced his magic, and he was able to persuade and convince Mimesis or Mediach. There are four expressions. I don't know all the exact expressions. Mimesis, Mediach, other two expressions. What he did, he was able to start a new religion, and he was extremely successful. And he did all of his damage in 3 years. That's all it was. 3 years. After 3 years, he was such a troublemaker. The Sanhedrin got together and said, "This guy's got to go. This guy's mamish and mechashef and megadef. We got to get rid of him. We're going to kill him." And they had a din Torah, they had a bezdin, and they paskin his chayev misa. He's a mechashef and oyvav of the zara. And it seemed like a very innocent thing. And they announced before this happened, appears to be right before Purim. Before Purim, the fourth day of Purim, they paskin his chayev misa. And the rule is you have 40 days to make announcements. 40 days you make an announcement. Anyone has a limud zchus, come forward and we will listen to your limud zchus, and maybe we won't kill him. They didn't want to kill him. They were trying very hard to find a reason not to kill him. It wasn't popular to kill people. Capital punishment is not a popular thing to do. They gave 40 days for people to come forward to provide zchusim, and no one found the zchus. And then Erev Pesach, he was killed. According to what he says here in the Sefer, he was killed, the tradition is, he was killed al pi halacha, which means first he was stoned, skila, as the halach is, the oivid of the zara is chayiv skila, and then he is hung on a he's hung up for a few moments. The salisa also alates. How do you hang? The Rambam is very clear. How do you hang? You don't crucify a person. You don't put him. That's how the Romans did it. How do you? You tie the two hands together. You tie the two hands together, and he's hung for a few minutes, not more than a few minutes, and it's only done to a person who's in the oven of Avodah Zarah for just for a few minutes, and it's as a kapara for the person. It serves as a kapara. So he was first killed by stoning, and then he was hung up in a very dignified way for a few moments, and then he was buried. Now, hundreds of years later, they rewrote history, and the Romans, how did they kill? They didn't kill by stoning. They killed people by nailing them to a cross. That's how the Romans killed people, and they hung them up, and they tortured them. So they superimposed upon Yashka the way they brutally murder and torture their own criminals. But that's
revised
not the
history.
They totally revised history. He was killed in a very covetic way because he was in the Ovid of the Zara, Meis Modiach. Now what is it gonna mean nittel? So nittel, one interpretation means he was taken from this world. Another translation of nittel means he was hung. They're commemorating, what is the, even though he was hung on the Erev Pesach, December 25th is not the time, even if you want, is not the time that he was hung. It means the whole holiday is a holiday to commemorate that his death serves as an atonement for every possible sin any non-Jew in this world can do. So therefore they focus on his death until his death is the time that he was taken from this world or he was hung. Other translations of the word nittel come from the word, give me one second, come from nittel. It's a Persian word, a Roman word. I once heard this before. It's a Roman word which means his birthday.
Yes, in Natal, in several Latin-based languages,
Natal, born. So he was born. So that fits very well with what we said. Right. So that fits very well with this tradition that we said that the ninth day of Teves, there is some tradition, if it's true or not, that he was born approximately during that period of time. That year it coincided with what they claim to have been then. Calendar has been revised many times, obviously, everything today or nothing, many revisions, but going back to the Shiroshim, December 25th, yeah.
Himself agrees now.
Yeah.
From the Pope Benedict, he said that they look into certain things, that the probable date seems to be June 2nd that he was actually born, and the only reason that they adopted December 25th is because it was an old pagan holiday.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted it to coincide,
right,
just like the Moravian.
Right. Avodah Zarah Daf Ches Adam Arishon, the Tkufa.
Right.
The Tkufa. So you mentioned that. Another reason why we commemorate,
definitely wasn't born December 25th.
They combine pagan holidays. That he's referring to a Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah says that Adam Harishon, after the Chidei Tzedas, the days got shorter and shorter.
You see, the paganism,
yeah,
in the practice, there's nothing Christian about the tree. There's nothing Christian about sins or blood.
This is a recent development.
This is reinforced.
100%.
50 years old, came from Germany.
That's why they're not a Okay, let's go. We're out of time. I just want to run through a few short things. Maybe we'll do a little bit more tomorrow. Others say, I don't know, you know Yiddish. I don't know Yiddish. Yudin Teden Nisht Lernen. What does that mean?
Tornish.
Doesn't say Tornish.
Tornish.
So that stands for, it stands for Nittel. Yudin. Yidin?
Yidin.
Tornished. So that's nittel. Yidin tornished learning. That's what. All right. So that's. So far, we really only focused on this. The reason why we don't learn is because of sakana. Others say that it has to do with a change of tkufa. It's a pagan. It's nothing to do with the yashk. It has to do with this gemara himself of the zara. Adam originally sinned. The days got shorter and shorter, and Adam thought that because of the chet etz hadas, the world will eventually be complete choshech. Days are getting, when it got to Tkufas Nisan, that was the day approximately at the time of December 25th, is when Adam began to detect that the days are once again getting longer. that the days, and he realized, Darkoi minhogoi shel oilam. That's the word of the Gemara. Adam came to the realization, this is minhogoi shel oilam, and it says in the Gemara, he made a yomtah for 8 days. Why 8 days? It wasn't Hanukkah. I do not know why 8 days. It's not a coincidence. There are 8 days of their holiday from December 25th until January. We always said in Yeshiva, that's a joke, is that he was born. The bris is on January. But he made a holiday, that's probably a joke, but he made a holiday for 8 days. This is a pagan holiday, and Nittul comes somehow, I don't know what it has to do with the Tkufas Teves, somehow it comes from there. Let's put that aside. Let's go to another reason. Another reason given why we commemorate this, the Kabbalistic reason, is because since Yashka was born at this Tkufa, if Klal Yisrael will learn, I have no idea what this means, but it's brought down in every sefer that I've seen about Nittul, if he will learn, you're giving power to his neshama. And since he was such a terrible person, we want to sacrifice our own growth and learning in order not to give his neshama any power. Beats me. I have no idea what that means. No idea. Okay. Now let's go. There is one other thing I want to mention but the minug. Now, first of all, in Eretz Yisrael, there's a minug of Nittul. So someone has said that the minug of Nittul was never meant to be established in Eretz Yisrael. The Holy Land, there's no shlita of the koichas of Tumah, and there's Shmira, and there's, if there is Nittul, a minug to observe Nittul, it's only in Chutz Eretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. And someone goes a step further, and I mean that all of our Bati Midrashos are all an extension of Mikdash Ma'at, an extension of Eretz Yisrael. It will one day be established in Eretz Yisrael. There's nothing wrong learning Torah in the Beis Medrash. Maybe not learn Torah in the home, then maybe you want to preserve the minhag there, but in the Beis Medrash, which is a chelik of Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael is not the shlita of Koichas of Tumah, the minhag was never established. However, the Hasidim in Eretz Yisrael do not learn, that's a fact. Those that have this minhag, hold on to the minhag, they do not learn. Okay, we're out of time, but let me just tell you one other idea, which I think is very, maybe we'll discuss, maybe we'll do tomorrow, maybe now we'll see, but one other idea which very much explains what minhag is all about. There's a concept called Bitula Zehu Kiyuma. This concept comes from none other than Moshe Rabbeinu and Matan Torah. Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the Torah. What happened? Moshe Rabbeinu, he took the Luchos, he came down, he saw they're worshipping the eagle, and what did he do? He shattered the Luchos. Can you imagine? The Luchos is on a much higher madrega than a Sefer Torah. The Luchos Maaseh Elokim Hema, the Hamichtav is the Michtav of Elokim. How can Moshe Rabbeinu shatter the Luchos? The answer is, it's Ziyuf HaTorah. If Klal Yisrael here are singing and dancing and celebrating the worshipping of the eagle, and I'm going to give them the Torah. Torah is going to go and blend together with you're dancing to the eagle, and you're going to learn Torah. Ataras Hashem. There's no greater perversion, forgery of Torah than this. And therefore, Moshe had no choice but to destroy the Luchos. And Hashem said to Moshe, Asher Shibarta, Yi Asher Koichacha Shibarta, all power to you, Moshe, and you've done the right thing. It's a very profound concept. It's not for now. I'm not in the position to know what this means. But there is such a deep concept called Bitula. There are times when to be mevatel, not to learn, to destroy, to just finish, is better than continuing to do something in a way that is mingled with forgery or is impure. Bitula zehu kiyuma. We know the Velozhna Yeshiva. The Velozhna Yeshiva, when the government wanted to exert their influence and demand that they learn Limudei Chol, and the Rosh Yeshiva did, and the Tzir felt that would forge without an effect in the learning, he decided to close the Yeshiva. Pa'omim, Chazal are very precise. There are times, Bitula Zehu Kiyuma. Another example, Esther Hamalka, Lech Tsumu Olai Al Tochu V'Al Tishtu Shloisha Simim Lai Leviyom. Vayavar Mordechai. It was Pesach night. Pesach night. Today, there's no Rosh Yeshiva today. There's no organization, any more etzes that will tell you, okay, we're going to be mevatel Pesach. We don't have such koyach today to do so. But Mordechai and Esther, Mamish, Anshei, Knesset, Adela, Vayavar Mordechai, there's no Seder. Forget it. No matzah. All the mitzvahs are bottled for 3 days. Why? Chazal say, Ta'amin bitula zehu kiyuma. You have to delve deeply into this concept. I give you three examples. Falashna Yeshiva, modern times, Mordechai v'Yester, and it all starts with Moshe Rabbeinu, the Shviras Aluchos, and again, this is a very deep concept. Now, this is something very important to understand about Christianity. This is one thing we should take out of this after reading this whole section of Christianity. Christianity represents the forgery of Torah Shebal Peh, Ziyuf HaTorah. Until the time of the Christians, there was never a time, Torah was never put in writing, Torah was always preserved, from one generation to the generation, Baal Peh. It was oral tradition. Being that it was an oral tradition, it was impossible for them, for any non-Jew, and there were many pagans throughout history, to tamper with the Torah Shebaal Peh, because there was nothing to tamper with. It was an oral tradition. The same time when Christianity began to develop and to explode was exactly the same time when the time of the codification of the Mishnah, Rabbeinu HaKadosh in the Talmud, and it goes back to the Chashmonaim, but the Christianity developed during the same time when Torah was first being put in writing. And at that same point in time is where the Christians attacked, the Torah Shebaal Peh was put in writing, and the Christians ferociously attacked the Torah Shebaal Peh and made every possible effort to be mezayef the Torah Shebaal Peh. They were not mezayef Torah Shebaal Chsav. Torah Shebaal Chsav was mezuyi from the time of when? Talmai HaMelech, from the 3 days of Choshech, of Yavon. The Torah Shebaal Chsav, the damage that could have been done, that was done, Torah Shebaal Chsav was done by Talmai, by Yavonis, by the Egyptian Greeks, before the Christians, the early Christians. And then came the Christians, and that was their contribution to this world. Ziyuf HaTorah, the Ziyuf HaTorah, and that's really what Christianity is all about. Everything in the Torah is Mzuyuf, their interpretations, their debates. You have to dwell upon that and understand that in great detail. It's Ziyuf Torah Shebaal Peh. Nittel, what is nittel? Nittel in concept, whether it's the calendar date, not the calendar date, it's a very profound minhag. It's the minhag of Pa'amim Shebitula Zehu Kiyuma. You have to realize that we're dealing here with Christianity. They're celebrating their holiday. Their holiday is the foundation of their holiday, and every dimension is all built on Ziyuf HaTorah, the forgery of Torah Shebaal Peh. And Pa'amim Shebitula Zehu Kiyuma. You have to take time out. You have to stop what you're doing and recognize Ziyuf HaTorah in its purest form, and you can't fight with it. You can't go, we'll continue, we'll learn Torah. There's some truth, and in the some truth, no, there's a mixture, a little bit of a mixture of a false hashkafa, of a Mashiach. What is Mashiach? What is this? What is that? Yeah, but we know we'll focus on the good, we won't focus on the corruption that has crept into the Torah. No. Ta'amim shebitula zehu kiyuma. Shock therapy. Moshe Rabbeinu, he broke the luchos, the Velazhna Yeshiva, Vayava Mordechai. And that is what nittel really represents. You have to realize there's something called Ziyuf HaTorah, and there's no compromise. There's no compromise. And interesting, this really, there are 3 days of Choshech. What are the three days? We just went through the 3 days. Ches, Tes, and eighth, ninth. And what is the eighth day? Eighth day is Talmai HaMelech. The Choshech, through the Choshech in the world, because they translated the Torah Shebaal Chsav into Yavanis. What is that? The eighth day of Teves represents the Ziyuf of Torah Shebaal Chsav. What's the ninth day? According to one approach, has to do with Christianity. What exactly here? What is? It's the Ziyuf of Torah Shebaal Peh. When there's a Ziyuf of Torah Shebaal Chsav on the eighth, and a Ziyuf of Torah Shebaal Peh on the ninth, then there's a Churban. Then starts the Churban on the 10th day. Asar B'Teves says, Aschaldo D'Puranusa. We have nothing left. These three days, they all go together. Ziyuf, Shebaal Chsav, Shebaal Peh, and the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And that is, even though we don't do this, we don't practice nittel among us, our communities, but it's a very profound concept to remember what Christianity, it's not like Islam. Islam is not Ziyuf HaTorah. It's a new invention. It's a new religion. It's a whole new thing. It doesn't, maybe a thing here, a thing there. It doesn't have its shirashim. Okay, but it's not to the same degree. It's not nearly anything near what the Christians have done, where their foundation is. It's the forgery of Torah Shebal Peh, and it's a time for us to recognize Shepa Amin. Bitula Zehu Kiyuma. Okay, have a wonderful day. Mitzvah. See you tomorrow.